Hi everyone, I'm here today with Ashley McPhillips to talk to you about children's medications. My name is Trisha Winroth and I'm a pharmacist with Walgreens Pharmacy. Still work as a pharmacy manager every day on the front lines, helping patients choose proper medications and be safe. Ashley, how are you today?
Thank you. Thanks for having me today. My name is Ashley McPhillips. I've been a pharmacist for almost 15 years. I'm a pharmacy manager for CVS Pharmacy, and I thoroughly enjoy not only being on the front lines in the pharmacy day to day, helping mentoring the next generation of pharmacy students, but also being actively involved in the profession of pharmacy at both national levels and state levels with APHA and MPHA, etc. I'm very happy to be here today.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I was hoping we could talk a little bit about children's medications, some proper dosing, some common OTC products, and how we can build trust with our patients for those patients.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely allergy season here in the Northeast. What kind of products do you recommend over the counter for children?
So typically, what I would recommend is like a children's Zyrtec or children's Claritin or loratadine. Both are great because we have options in both liquid and also chewable tablets. Typically, with the children that are like 2 to 6 for Zyrtec, we would recommend like 2.5 mLs once a day. Sometimes, I warn the parents that because that medication crosses the blood-brain barrier, it could cause drowsiness. So sometimes they'll opt for loratadine. For ages 6 and over for the Zyrtec, I recommend either 5 or 10 mLs once a day, especially depending on, the size of the child, if they're more on the underweight side or on the regular weight. But for the Claritin, we've got the Claritin chewables, which are the 5 mg. For age 2 to 6, we recommend 5 mg either in one tablet or the liquid, which is 5 mLs or 1 teaspoonful. I make that very clear to the parents. It's a teaspoonful, not a tablespoonful. That's something that I think is very, very important to emphasize, not only with over-the-counter products, but also with prescription products that I'm dispensing. I'll actually show them the syringe and I'll mark with a Sharpie like where they're to draw to. For Claritin for ages 6 and up, you can do up to 10 mLs or 10 mg a day, and that's typically not going to cause drowsiness. With the Benadryl, you never want to typically recommend that. Definitely not under 2, and even up to age 6 unless recommended by a doctor. And then that is, basically I reserve for just allergic type reactions versus day to day. I never recommend that as like a day to day medication. And then
Yeah,
we've also got the Allegra, which is also non-drowsy, which is great for kids.
I recommend a lot of the same products. I really like the fact that several of them have chewable tablets or dissolvable tablets. So much more convenient as a mom on the go to throw a dissolvable tablet in your purse versus a whole bottle of liquid. And I'm really just not a fan of the flavor of the liquids either. My son never has been. Do you find that it's really difficult to communicate with patients about these medications when they have diverse languages?
So I actually work in Harvard Square, which we get a lot of tourists from all
Right.
across the world, not even across the country, across the world. So I often find myself using Google Translate, or they'll actually come in with their phone and they'll have it ready to go to communicate with me. So this is something that I do on a regular basis. I obviously am fluent in English. I also took a lot of Spanish, so I'm able to communicate, in Spanish with patients. But I also have some staff that speaks Italian, Spanish, Haitian Creole. So I have a team that can also help me, but I utilize, the services that are available like Google Translate. And then I'll also offer up, can we call a family member? So that way I can communicate with them, whether it be about over-the-counter or prescription medications. That's also very helpful. Or sometimes I get lucky enough where there's another customer or patient in the vicinity of the pharmacy that will help translate. So I never leave that as a barrier to make sure that it's safe and effective communication.
Very much the same in my pharmacy. I work in the city of Lowell, Massachusetts, and definitely have a lot of patients who speak multiple languages or a variation of all kinds of languages. And that's actually why I found the tablets to be a lot easier sometimes when you've got those kids that are old enough to take the full 5 milligram dose or a 10 milligram dose, and you can give them a tablet and say just one, so much simpler than worrying about them measuring a liquid. So that's definitely something that I tend to recommend first instead of doing the liquid if I can. For those smaller children, how about our babies? How should you use diaper rash creams and ointments, the things typically containing zinc oxide or petroleum?
So you always want to recommend to the parents that they obviously change the diaper as soon as possible, that you wash the area, allow it to dry, and then you're going to apply that ointment liberally and as often as needed, particularly in the evening around bedtime where they're going to have prolonged exposure to a wet diaper. And then I always say that if it doesn't resolve after 7 days or it resolves and then comes back within a few days, that's when you should seek doctor care. But that it's something that you want to make sure to be applying just as often as your baby needs it, and just making sure that that area is nice and clean, and seek the care if it, you know, doesn't go away after a reasonable amount of time. And, you know, we have the zinc oxide, which is the Desitin, which is in the two different strengths, the maximum, which is the 40, the regular, which is the 13%-ish. And then we've also got the white petrolatum ointment that has lanolin in it, which, so there's different options. And then, you know, there's also the butt paste and all different, but the typical ones are, you know, lanolin with white petrolatum. And then Desitin is very widely used. So that's something that parents, you know, come in seeking often, especially the tourists from abroad with their babies.
Absolutely. I have always used triple paste because it worked so well for my son when he was a baby. So I tend to go directly to that as my recommendation because it's like a tried and true for me. So one thing about being a mom is it's really nice to have those suggestions that you've tried and you've used and has worked for your family. So while we're talking about babies, let's talk about some safe recommendations for relieving infant gas. What kind of products do you recommend and are they safe for the babies?
So for gas, I always recommend the simethicone drops, which is also known as the Mylocon drops for infants. And typically if a child is under the age of 2 or 24 pounds, we recommend the parents give them 0.3 milliliters. And if they're over the age of 2 or 24 pounds, it's 0.6 mls. It's important to let the parents know that they can dilute this in an ounce of water or an infant formula so they can mix it. That way it's easier for the child to take. But also important to let them know not to use any syringe other than the syringe that comes with, because the syringe has the markers for 0.3 ml and 0.6 ml. So they shouldn't use, you know, a syringe given by the pharmacy. It should be strictly the pre-measured and marked syringe that's given with. But that it is safe and okay to give with water or infant formula. Also, there's gripe water, which you can give from 2 weeks and up and older. That's something that's not only good for gas, but also for colic and hiccups. So that's also very effective for parents to choose and completely safe for their children.
Perfect. How do you identify and address parents' concerns when they're just concerned about their children's overall health? Sometimes it's questions about vaccines. Sometimes it's questions about, are they eating enough? Do they have the right vitamins? How do you identify those problems and how do you address them?
So I think it's important to, you know, identify first what brings the parents in the pharmacy today. Like, what is your first and most primary focus and concern? But also get a sense of what their culture is, because culture goes a lot into primary decision making for how they're going to take care of their children, both diet wise and medication. Like, culture is a huge part of diet. So it's important, you know, to educate them about how important it is to have your child be healthy with a healthy, you know, balanced diet, but also exercise, because that's not only going to go into their cognitive ability, but it's going to go into their concentration, their ability to focus, have the best, you know, social skills and whatnot. And also just long-term outcomes with, you know, their development of all of their, you know, their body in general. But I think it first starts with, you know, getting a sense of what are your concerns, getting on the same page with them, you know, asking for open feedback rather than talking at them, having a conversation with them and understanding their family dynamic, because the family dynamic is going to drive how they're going to raise their children with all the different aspects, with food, with exercise, and, you know, also with medicine.
I find that besides the general day-to-day allergy, stuffy nose, runny nose, the question I get all the time from parents is, I don't know if my child's eating enough. What do they need for a multivitamin? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of questions about children's vitamins. And I think there's a lot of danger that can be done if you're giving the child a lot of additional vitamins that they don't necessarily need.
Yes. And I also feel like in addition to multivitamins, they'll ask about general nutrition. Like I had a mother come in with a 10-year-old. She's like, my daughter doesn't really eat very well. Can you recommend, you know, either a protein powder or a supplement? You know, we have Pediasure. You know, those types of things that can supplement the diet. So I definitely agree with you. That is one of the concerns that, you know, kids in general sometimes can be stubborn with their diet. So it's good to, you know, not only have multivitamins that are recommended and safe, making sure they're not duplicating vitamins, but also those supplements like Pediasure.
Absolutely. Kind of along those same lines, I spend a lot of time lately teaching my students and new pharmacists how to recognize the severity of symptoms and when we should be seeking professional advice from an actual doctor, when the child needs to be seen, and then what's like a pediatrician visit versus like an ER or an urgent care visit. How do you advise parents on this situation?
So I say that if it ever comes to a situation where it's interfering with the child's ability to function day to day, that's always a red flag to see, you know, a professional doctor. If they're ever sick with like an upper respiratory infection where it interferes with their breathing, they'd want to seek, you know, medical attention, if not go to urgent care or the ER. Also, you know, with kids, sometimes it comes down to like cognitive ability. If they seem confused or out of it, that could be a warning sign that they, you know, maybe a fever could have been so high that it's affecting their cognitive ability that you'd want to seek professional attention. Like those types of things versus, you know, even infections that I see, if it's, you know, visually, it looks like it could be something that they need antibiotics, something so simple where they're like, oh, I just want to treat it over the counter, but it looks like it could be an infection that truly needs to be treated, then I'll refer them. I'd rather err on the side of caution, especially with little kids, than give, you know, a recommendation that I feel like may or may not be the best and safest option for the child.
Absolutely. When they put me on the spot and make me give them like an over-the-counter recommendation, I always go with the caution that like 24, 48 hours, if this isn't helping your situation, then you really do need to be seen. I also like to advise parents that a lot about children is their behavior. And if the child is running around the pharmacy asking for stickers and toys, then I know they're really pretty much okay. But when you've got a child who's listless or unresponsive, you know, kind of just not responding, not chatting, especially if you have a baby that's really sleepy and not waking up to eat, then you know that you really need to seek some more advanced medical care.
Exactly.
You've kind of touched on this a little bit, but how do you build trust with these parents when you're counseling them and offering them suggestions?
So when I interact with any patient or family member, I always like to give them, you know, a slight background. I've been a pharmacist for a long time. What are your concerns? What do you want most out of this, you know, visit with me, so to speak? And, you know, really hear them out and then give them, you know, what I recommend and then try to get feedback from them. You know, how do they feel about that recommendation? Do they have further, you know, concerns or other things that they need to treat? And I just try to be very empathetic. Like, I think empathy goes a very long way because a lot of parents or even patients, when your child isn't feeling well, there's no, you know, worse feeling. You feel helpless that you can't, you know, help them and you just want to do the best by them and make them feel better. So just giving that empathy and just being very patient with them and hearing them out and then trying to relate to them on whatever, you know, level. Like I said, if there's a language barrier or cultural barrier, just trying to be right on their level, I think will just put them at ease and know and reassure them that you're there for their loved one, and you're there to take the best care possible in that small amount of time that you have with them, and that you're there to support them. And I always give them like my business card and say, you know, if you have any further questions or need any help, don't hesitate to call. And that also reassures them.
Absolutely. I love giving them a way to follow up with you or with someone else to get the information that they need if they get home and they don't remember things or they're unsure of what you said. It can be a lot when they've got an upset child and they're standing in the pharmacy and you're giving them information that they don't have time to really absorb. I'm lucky that I get to say, I've been there, I'm a mom, and I did, you know, this treatment or this option. Before I was in that situation, before I was a mom, I used to always say, if I had a child, I would, and then make a recommendation or tell them what I would have done in that situation. And I feel like that kind of creates a trust or a support with them. And I do the same thing for any patients. You know, I wouldn't recommend this for my mom. I might recommend it for my grandmother, you know, things like that, so that they know that you're really thinking of their family members as your family members and what you would consider.
I agree. My biggest line that I always say is, if it were me, this is what I would take. Like I always say, if it were me, I would feel comfortable taking this and that it would help me.
Like, Same. Absolutely. I feel like the longer we're pharmacists, the more we end up taking ourselves or experiencing ourselves as health conditions, and the more we get to say that we would or we have, you know, experienced something. How do you as a pharmacist emphasize the importance of medication safety as far as storage and adherence to dosing instructions?
So I think that it's important when I counsel a lot on like reconstitutable antibiotics, for example, I always say, you know, for best taste or, you know, refrigerate, but I'll also say in the same token, you know, you cannot refrigerate this because the stability of the medication will be impacted. It will not be, you know, safe for your child to take, or you have to refrigerate this because it will go bad if you don't. Also, you know, just in general, this is just as important with over-the-counter medications, you know, storage and also how you apply things, you know, something as simple as like Feverol, like suppositories, obviously keep at room temperature, but you have to unwrap it, you know, from the foil and then insert it rectally. It's important that we emphasize even in just a minute or two, you know, this, how the medication could not be effective or it could be harmful if it's not stored properly, but also that it has to be given properly according to the dose. So, you know, if a medication is recommended for 6 and up and you go and purchase it for a 3-year-old and just cut the dose in half, that is not safe. You have to go based on the recommendations from the manufacturer because there could be ingredients in that medication that could harm your child. So I always make sure, you know, I'll even proactively listen from behind the counter when I see we have the children's aisle right in front of the pharmacy. So if I see a parent that looks unsure, I'll go out there and just make sure to go over, you know, what are the symptoms? This is what you had this in your hand. That is not safe and appropriate. Why don't you try this? So I think it's just very necessary that if they want to do the best for their child, that, you know, they follow the directions, but also storage is super important.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been 85 and 90 degrees in New England for several weeks now. I feel like I'm constantly reminding patients that, you know, 88 degrees in your cabinet in the kitchen is maybe not okay for some of these medications, especially the ones that are really supposed to be in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And I also love giving patients the proper syringe or medicine dosing device at the same time as the medication so that I know the product that they have says mLs and the measuring device I'm giving them says mLs and that they can be used together safely. Because we know that some patients use a kitchen spoon. We know that there's confusion between teaspoons and mLs or any number of things, especially when there's additional language barriers. Same thing like you, I like to mark a syringe or mark the dosing spoon so that they have the proper instructions when they get home. Yeah.
That's actually something my technicians, when they bag the prescriptions for liquids for kids, they know the expectation from me. is to give the proper syringe. Like they
Absolutely.
automatically do that without me even asking.
Absolutely.
So
It's the
that
same
way
thing
we
for me.
ensure. Yep.
What role do you play as a pharmacist in promoting healthy habits like diet, hydration, and age-appropriate physical activity for kids?
I think that as a community pharmacist, I don't play as big of a role as I would like to, because, we are so busy since the pandemic, especially. But I think that when parents come in, especially, when their child is sick and dehydration is a huge factor, they have the flu, they have a cold. I definitely jump into action, to give the Pedialyte, if they have, a stomach virus or whatnot. And then, as I recommended earlier, like Pediasure for kids that might not have like a great diet. I think it's just important to remind the parents that their children are going to emulate them. So if they are not healthy or they are not physically active, their kids are probably going to follow after them because they're going to mimic what their parents are doing. So in order to promote like a healthy lifestyle for the whole family, it could be something, getting the kids to go out for a walk on to the park, or make it a whole family activity where it's not only physical exercise, but it's also family bonding time. I think that's really important, just reminding them that they really are setting the example for their whole family. But I definitely think that, pharmacists do play a role when it comes to especially the acute cases where the parents are concerned about an acute situation and how do I support my child during this time? But we should also remember that we can support them, throughout the upbringing of the child with their full development and how to, with multivitamin recommendations, like you said, and making sure that they're developing to the best of their ability.
I love the idea of recommending a physical activity that combines family time as well and is something fun for everyone. For me, it's super important that my son's a soccer player and we're always there. We're always there supporting the thing that he does enjoy as his physical activity. So even though we're not playing, we're there cheering on the sidelines and he enjoys it more because we're there to watch him. So absolutely, the family time is so important and they do emulate their parents. How can you effectively communicate with parents about potential risks with drug interactions, with OTC recommendations and medications? All right, I'm gonna do that again. How can pharmacists effectively communicate with parents about risks and contraindications or drug interactions with OTC medications for children?
So I think it's one of the first questions I always ask patients or parents is, is this person already on anything? Because a lot of times I find that people are duplicating ingredients. So they'll go to pick a product, but they're already on another product that, for so to speak, has acetaminophen in it. And they don't realize they're doubling up on acetaminophen. And then I'll be like, oh, okay. If you were to take too much of acetaminophen or Tylenol, it can hurt your liver. So I think it's important to get a history of what they've already taken, what they're currently taking, but explain to them that it's really so absolutely important that you are on the same wavelength of what ingredients are in the products that they're ingesting. Also, you need to keep in mind, if they're on medications like stimulants, especially with the kids, if they're on stimulants, you don't want to give something, like phenylephrine that could increase the heart rate or increase, blood pressure if they're like an older child, because that can also interfere with the stimulant. And just explain the severity, like, if you were to do that, it can, cause rapid heart rate and, cause some issues. So making the parents aware, it's so important and imperative that they're honest with you about what they're taking, what they've already taken, so you're not going to give them something again that's not going to be effective, but that we're not giving them anything that's going to cause additional harm, because the whole point is that we're trying to support and make them better. So I think that it's really important just to have that open conversation from the get-go. And explain that, if it's a child that is not within the age range, that doesn't mean you can just dose adjust. There's usually a reason that it's not recommended for them. There's usually an ingredient in there that could be dangerous.
For kids and parents alike, I really dislike combo products for that reason. And I would much rather choose individual ingredients and have them use the ingredients as needed individually. So acetaminophen for Tylenol or a fever, loratadine or cetirizine for an allergy symptom or some cold symptoms, but not a product that combines a whole bunch of cough and cold ingredients together. Because like you said, it's so easy to duplicate ingredients.
And half the time they pick a product that they don't even have half of the symptoms. They just, you know, they grab the product and it's like, there's no need in taking something that has two extra ingredients that you don't even have the symptom that could just cause side effects.
Absolutely. Happens all the time here as well. There's so many combo products that have four, five, six ingredients in them and the patients are picking them and they literally have one symptom. So yeah, I definitely like the individual products much better than the combo products. And it's a lot easier to make safe and effective recommendations that way. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ashley, to talk about children's OTC medications. I look forward to speaking with you again soon about another topic.
Thank you so much for having me, Tricia. I really enjoyed talking about children's medications. You know, they're some of my favorite patients, especially when it comes to vaccines. So I'm happy to share the knowledge with the pharmacy world and beyond, so we can best take care of these patients.
Thank you so much.